Right. Well, for those of you who like to take notes or follow, you'll find in your pew, or if not, just look around because there are some spare ones that says, "This is the word of the Lord, thanks be to God," which is what would be said in some churches. Well, there's some spares here, Geraldine, if you... You're right. Pleasure. So today, as I said to the children or child, I want to have a look at the word of God. This is the word of the Lord. I'm still amazed, and I got out this morning from my stack of stuff. I'm still amazed that... Old and New Testament, the way the Bible's divided up before and after Jesus, some people who have been involved in church life for a long time are still not quite aware of the fact that the Bible is divided. I think I told you the story of the lady in the nursing home who was reading, and when I spoke with her, she was actually in the bed next to someone I went to visit, and she said, look, I'm reading about the five major religions and then I'm going to read the whole of the Holy Bible. And I thought, love, you're not going to have enough time. But at the same time, I thought, the whole of the Holy Bible. And I said to her, how's your eyesight? Well, not too good. So I said, well, do you want me to get you a big print Bible? Oh, didn't know such thing existed. Well, what about if I just get you the Psalms or something? Do you want the whole Bible or just the New and the Old Testament? She said, love, I've taught Sunday school all my life and I've got no idea what you're talking about. So I would hate to think that we didn't know that the Bible does divide, and the Bible is not easy. People say, I'm going to read it from cover to cover. Well, that's a very difficult way to try and read the Bible because it doesn't fit chronologically. Bits overlap and bits interweave. And so if you're going to set off reading the Bible, it might be good to get some guide or something that's going to help you. And I have put out on the table there some You, Me and the Bible, and that's really quite a good little guide to help you if you're starting off or even if you want to do a refresher. And I found them in my cupboard, so please, I don't want them there any longer. Please take them and use them. They're there. Well, Annie read to us, and she read to us from Timothy, and there are two translations that are in your notes about being a worker who is not embarrassed. And this is how we rightly handle the Word of God. It's an unusual book, it's a different book, and it needs to be handled correctly. So we need to be grammatically correct. Now I know that some people love to have something modern like the Message. Great, have something modern like the Message, but realise that it isn't a Greek translation. It isn't what we might call an accurate Bible. It's great to read and get the message, but it isn't word for word. The King James isn't either. The King James, as some people grasp onto, isn't... It's great if you like it, but don't sort of say, this is the Word of God. It's the Word of God because it's the Bible, but let's be careful that God didn't speak in Shakespearean language. So we just need to find what suits us. We need to relate it to the context and the culture, of course, and we come back to the old things of, I say, you know, here's Jill in a hat, and You know, that whole thing of should women wear hats in church, should children obey their parents, all of this sort of stuff. We need to think about the culture of the time. We need to understand what is the purpose of the book. We've been reminded by Frank that Corinthians was written in answer to questions. The people were asking questions. So Paul replied to questions. That was the purpose of that book. Was it God speaking directly or were there messengers? We need to understand that. We need to avoid extreme literalism. When Jesus says, "I am the door," well, we know in our head he's not talking about that wooden door or that glass door. He's talking about the way to go through. So we need to be careful because some people are very keen on being literal. We need to compare scripture with scripture. This says this, this says this. How does it measure up? How do we relate it? And then we need to recognise paradoxes and parables because a lot of scripture is written in parable. We know that the seed that is sown by the guy is the word of God because we're told that. But it's not a wheat seed. We're not saying, oh, the Bible is like a wheat seed. Well, how do we understand that? So if you're going to rightly handle it and prove yourself as a faithful worker, just make sure that you look carefully at these things. Now, the last couple of weeks, people have been sending children to school or children have been back at school, teachers have been back at school. You know what kids are like. Come home from school after the first day, I can't read and I can't write, and I thought that's why I went to school. Well, we're a bit the same, but ours is going to be a lifetime of learning as we read the Bible. And why do you read the Bible, or why do we bother to look at the Bible? You see, these people, Jesus said, you search and investigate and pore over the scriptures diligently because you reckon in there is eternal life, but actually it's me, Jesus said. It's me you'll find in scripture. So if you don't want an encounter with the living God, well then it's really a waste of time reading the Bible because we'll always encounter in some way the living God. That's what we've got. You see, this book is just another book at one level, unless I realise it's an encounter with God and a message to me from him. Otherwise, just a book. There are some people who study the Bible because they love the literature of it. But we don't. We study the Bible and look at it because it helps us understand about God and his purpose for us. Now, those of you who have opened your notes thought, oh, we're going to be stuck here till midnight. No, you're not. We're going to move quickly through these different aspects of the Bible because it has a number of aspects to it. So first of all, as I've said to the children, it's light. And for those of you who have been involved in Scripture Union at any time, this used to be, or still is, their theme. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And I had the torch. And it's very simple, isn't it? That this is a guide. The word of God lights our path through life. But the question is, when God has put light on our path and we don't take notice of that light, what more can God do? Like, once the lights are on, do we need to put another lot of light on? Well, actually, we don't because we've already got the light to see with. And so when we have the light, do we sometimes say to God, actually, I want more? And God's saying, you've got enough. The other thing, of course, is that God, does God need to give us light on some things that is written down? Like, there are some things very clear in here that we don't need more illumination. We just need to open and read and obey. So, light is one aspect of God's word. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Secondly, it's a hammer. And Jeremiah says, your word's like a hammer that breaks rocks into pieces. Now, we've all seen, I think, prison scenes where men been marched out, sledgehammers, breaking rocks and building roads. So what would we say about God's word being like a hammer? Well, it pushes over walls, it breaks down walls of opposition, but as well, it breaks down those things that hinder our pathway, and at the same time, we could say it builds pathways. It makes rocks. It helps in the building of our Christian life, at the same time being destructive on things that are obstacles in our way. So it's helpful in that way. It's a mirror. It's a mirror. I've got a mirror here. And James says that we need to be not only readers of God's word, but doers of God's word. We need to be doers. So when we look in the mirror of a morning, or whenever we bother to look, we see ourselves. And that's what James says. Have a good look. Have a good look. And then don't walk away. So if you're putting on your lippy and it goes up your nose, you don't walk away and think, oh, well, that's too bad. You sort of change things around. And guys, doing the hair, flipping it over or flipping it back or whatever you need to do. So James says the word of God allows us to have a good look at ourselves because we're reflected there. It's a message from God to us. So we're reflected there. The problem is, friends, that we often do that. We often turn the mirror around and say, it applies to everyone else. Isn't it amazing what the Bible says? I know who that's for. I know who that's for. It's not for me. It's for someone else in our church. Judy, one of our church members, used to say, Dad said, sit in the front and you hear the message first. And it's good, I think, if we make sure that we get the message first and we see ourselves in the Word of God before we try and turn it on anyone else. Let's be very careful. Yeah, get your hair done in the morning, Carlene. That's right, yes. Yeah. The fourth thing that I've got up there is that it's like a fire. What does a fire do? Well, it obviously burns, it purifies its holiness. But what have we found in recent years with the fires in Australia? That once the fire has gone, often there's a regermination or a germination of certain seeds. And what they've found is that it wasn't the fire, although the fire was needed, but in an incredible way it was the smoke that actually enabled certain seeds to germinate. Now, we often say, don't we, where there's smoke, there's fire. And I think with the Word of God purifies and it cleanses our attitudes, all sorts of things. But as well as that, maybe once there's a purification, and I'm not talking smoke in our lives, but I'm saying a purification, maybe that enables fresh new growth. God gets rid of the rubbish and enables new growth to come. The seed is the word of God. Now, I'm always amazed when the seed is scattered, and there we all know the story, the four growths, or the birds coming and whatever. But when we get to number four, when the seed starts to grow, and it grows beautifully, the sad thing to me is that one quarter grows, so one out of four grows, but only part of that grows 100%. Only part of that grows 100%. Now, let's assume that we're the quarter. We're the people who have taken in the Word of God, and we're allowing that Word of God to grow in our lives. But are we only letting it grow this much, or this much, or the hundredfold that the parable talks about? It's interesting, isn't it? So three quarters disappear, one quarter survives, but how much growth is there actually in that quarter? So how serious are we about allowing the Word of God to grow in our lives? Food. Most people have had brekkie this morning. Most people have had something quite nourishing this morning. And, yep, you have, Warwick, good.
Wheat Bix,
righto. And you're looking ready for a pasty this afternoon for lunch, yes. Yeah, righto. So most people have had brekkie this morning. And the psalmist said, the word of God is like honey. It's sweet. It's nourishing. It's beautiful. We got a balanced diet? Have we got a balanced spiritual diet? We've been talking over the last couple of weeks, and I've got at the front door the rocks, the card, and the salt, to remind ourselves to be praying for people each day. That's part of our exercise as Christians. You see, it's no good just taking in food and growing fat. It's no good, as it were, going to every Bible study that exists. I mean, we need to have a balance, don't we, Ruth? Being an ex-phys ed teacher, we need the diet and the exercise. That's right. So, what I'm saying, friends, are we overweight? And I don't mean bodily, but I mean spiritually. Are we a bit too chubby? Is there a balance between what we're taking in and what we're giving out? Are we working the two together? Like, great, we need the knowledge of the Word of God. We need to be taking it in. Yes, we do. But at the same time, it was never meant for us just to keep. We were meant to put into practice the Word of God and to be giving out. It was meant to nourish us in order that we might nourish or share with other people. So let's make sure that we're physically fit and exercise, but let's make sure that we're spiritually fit as well, that we've got what we might call a balanced diet. Now, in the Old Testament particularly, the dropping of dew, morning moisture or evening, was a sign of God's blessing. Drought was a sign of God's withholding. Rain and dew were a sign of God's blessing. Well, we've had a high mixture, haven't we, in Australia? We've had fire, and now in some parts we've got flood. Not sure how we really interpret all of that. I think that probably, I mentioned our Indigenous Bible, I think our Aboriginal friends would probably have interpretations of that. But do we as Christians have an interpretation? Do we see God trying to teach us something? Or do we just say, oh, that's how Australia is? Well, in a way, that is how Australia is. But we need to realise too that sometimes the drought in our spiritual life is caused by our lack of reading or knowing the Word of God. We need to take that in and be refreshed. And we come to wealth. I rejoice in your word like one who finds great wealth. Do we treasure the word of God? Just put your hand up if you've got more than 5 copies of the Bible somewhere in your house. Yes, right, hands down. All of that gold sitting on shelves. Imagine in some of the persecuted countries where you can't have a Bible, or where you might just have to share a page of the Bible and hand it around. We know nothing of anything like that. But at the same time, maybe we don't treasure what we've got. Often, we don't know what we're missing until it's gone. So friends, let's treasure the Word of God and consider it as great wealth at the moment. The time might come, when we have to hide Bibles. Now, we can't even think of that. But I tell you, this time last year, we didn't really think of COVID. We weren't thinking anything like this could happen. And it has. And who knows what might happen. So where is our value system? And the very last thing is victory. If we want to live, as it were, a victorious Christian life, we need to have the Bible in pride of place in our life. It's defensive, that is, we stand with the Word of God in Ephesians as a shield, but it's also discerning, because we're told the Word of God can cut into us like a two-edged sword. So it might be the mirror discerning where we stand. It cuts into us if we allow it to, but it stands as a shield against opposition. The Word of God brings us into an encounter with the living God. So friends, it's not just a book. Well, here we've got a book, let's just flick open and see what we can find. But it has all of these component parts and probably a lot more aspects to it that I haven't mentioned. But that's probably enough to go home and think about. Let's pray. Our Father, today we thank you that your word is precious to us, but we are just so grateful that we have it, that we have your word. And we are so grateful for those people, many of them martyrs in church history, who gave their life that we might in fact have your word. So may it light our path, may it hammer out those rough places, may it mirror and reflect who we are, and Father, may it burn anything that is a hindrance and allow the smoke, as it were, to renew growth in us. May the seed of your word yield fruit like a tree. And Father, may it nourish us in order that we might nourish others. May it drop like dew upon our lives, bringing refreshment and blessing. May we treasure it, Lord, as something that is of great wealth, for we don't know how much longer we are able to have it in this way. And may we use it for victory in our Christian life. May it be both defensive and discerning. Defensive against opposition and discerning in our own lives. And Father, as we read your word, may we be reminded that it is like a special letter to us, bringing us constantly into an encounter with the living God. Thank you, Father, for your word, both written and the word who is your Son. And as they link together, we thank you for the great privilege that is ours as believers. And we offer to you our thanks. Amen.